Grace be unto you, and mercy and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text for today is written in Luke chapter 14. Verse 1 gives us the setting, and verse 7 and following tells us what Jesus said in that particular setting. So let us rise that we may reread it. And as you listen to this, you might think about what relationship we have with one another and how this might affect the way we live out that relationship. One Sabbath, when he went to dine at the house of a ruler of the Pharisees, they were watching him carefully. Now, he told a parable to those who were invited when he noticed how they chose the places of honor, saying to them, "When you are invited by someone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in a place of honor, lest someone more distinguished than you be invited by him. And he who invited you both will come and say to you, 'Give your place to this person,' and then you will begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit in the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, 'Friend, move up higher.' Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at table with you. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." He said to the man who had invited him, "When you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just." These are God's words. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are the truth. Increase our faith through them, we pray. Amen. So if Christ is the only door to heaven, and it's a narrow door because, well, knowing all the prophets in the world won't help, all the religions in the world won't help, only knowing Christ will. How does that affect the way we live our lives? In our adult Bible class today, we talked about Naaman, the leper. And once he came to know the true and living God, immediately it changed the way that he lived his life. If Christ is the door to heaven, then all our life is headed there. And so life is, in that way then, all about Christ. Not all about us, but all about Christ. And when I say it's all about Christ, as we'll see as we go through this lesson today, it doesn't mean that it's therefore all about church stuff and Christian music and Christian activities and Christian this and that. What I mean is that the door to heaven, Jesus Christ, is the center of our lives. And that means that by touching every part of our lives, we live a Christian life. It doesn't have to have a label. It doesn't have to have God words attached to it. It can be something like, oh, a banquet. The Bible says that we live our lives and that we say what we say according to what we think in our hearts. So Proverbs 23, as he thinks in his heart, so is he. And in Matthew 12, Jesus says, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so Luke's going to bring us through a number of episodes about what it means to have Christ and his righteousness first in our hearts. Now, do you think that's too religious? Think that makes you a Jesus freak? As I guess I'm dating myself, that's also 70s. Think about this. God continually thinks of you. Does that make God too much about Ed Bryant or you? when, after all, in heaven, the Bible says that there's great joy over one sinner that repents. Well, if God thinks so much of us, shouldn't what he says and what he says to us figure largely in our lives as well? This is the way Jesus lived, and we see it here. Thinking of us and thinking of God's love for us, he lived his life as a blessing to other people and as an honor to God. Now, as we look at our text for today, we see Jesus' emphasis on humility and service. When he noticed how the guests picked the places of honor at the table, he told this parable. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, "Give this man your seat." Then, humiliated, you will have to take the least important place. Now, here we have people using something that's relatively normal, semi-normal. It's a feast or a wedding feast. And they're using it to honor themselves when they could use it as a circumstance to bless and honor others. Now, I know you in your life love your Savior. I know all of you well enough to know that by what you say and by what you do, you give evidence that your Savior is dear to you. And so, for us as Christians, you know, it's not like we're living our life all about ourselves. But pride does crop up, doesn't it? It crops up in what we sometimes think of as mixed motives. Doesn't have to be at a banquet. You know, after all, we don't sit at rank at banquets, do we? When we go downstairs to a potluck, do we say, you know, all the important people at table number one? No, we don't do it that way. But we still have ways of ranking ourselves. For example, how about having to have the last word in a conversation? Yeah, you guys just all be quiet. I'll tell you how it is. Okay, that isn't sitting at the top table, but it's kind of putting ourselves above others. And it goes on to have the coolest car, the coolest phone, the coolest clothes. We one-up other people. And if we can't be thought of as being, well, the best, then what can we do? We can criticize others so at least they know their place somewhere lower than we are. So you see, even though Jesus is talking about a banquet here, the application goes way beyond, you know, getting together for a potluck. It's easy for us to accept the world's standards of worth and value as human beings. And what are those? I mean, isn't beauty, intelligence, wealth? When I was in school, athletic ability. I mean, if you weren't on, you know, varsity, you were nobody. I lettered in debate. And somehow that letter jacket didn't catapult me to the pinnacle of acceptability. Yeah. So we have our places, our status as well. And we tend to look down on other people based on those false values and look down on ourselves and, God forbid, even look down on our children. When what value has God placed on those other people? Well, what price did he pay for? The blood of his own son. You see, that's a different way of valuing people altogether, isn't it? And if Christ, the open door, is the center of our lives, that's going to affect the way we value others. Not by the corrupt values of the world, but by his. After all, is looking down on somebody because they don't have the coolest clothes any different from looking down on them because, oh, look, they're living, they're at the last table at the banquet. Now, Jesus wants us to understand that by whatever standard we use, everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. And no, this is not some sort of perverse, backwards way to exalt ourselves. Jesus isn't saying, okay, let me tell you how to really stand out, be somebody. You get down to that lower table, you know, then people, that's not the point. If that's what you're taking from this, then you're also the kind of people who would look somebody in the eye and say, I'm ever so much more humble than you are. And lose humility altogether. No. He's talking about the dangers of exalting ourselves. We love our Savior. We love one another. But think how easily we think less of others. Think how easily we have these mixed motives. Loving our Savior, loving others. Yeah, but number one's pretty important too. That being the case, what is our hope of heaven? Our hope of heaven surely is not then that we've gotten this humility business down pat, is it? We're not going to point to our lives and say, well, now that is that Bryant's life, that's a heavenly life. That deserves eternity. Now we're going to have to say, he's working on it. Our hope rather is in Christ, who was perfectly and incredibly, as the risen and ascended Lord, still is selfless. Not only did he do the kinds of things, good things, that you and I have left undone, but he's gone on and he's done the things, all the things that the law of love calls on us to do. And then he went on to bear the wrath of God for the wrong that we've done and the good that we've left undone. So it says in Philippians 2, in very nature God, he did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant and being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Jesus lived a life and died a death that was a blessing to others and an honor to God. It was just as God told Abraham, through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed. Think about the fact that Jesus' life and death, blessing to others, it's a blessing to you. He's blessed you and me with the forgiveness of sins. His selflessness has replaced our selfishness in God's reckoning. His selfless sacrifice has won God's favor for you. Do you have to worry whether God approves of you, considering the way that you've been full of pride? Do you have to worry that whether or not God approves of you, considering the way you've put down other people at times? Been stuck up, egotistical, or just selfish? Now, we lament those things, but we know that God, for the sake of Jesus, whose selflessness has become ours and put to our account, we know that because of him, we have God's love and approval, so that he will one day say, well done, good and faithful servant. Our hope of heaven depends upon the fact that Christ was always selfless and a blessing. Because of what Jesus has done, he continues to pour out his blessings on you to give you the full forgiveness of sins and righteousness that counts with God. He gives that righteousness to you through the gospel, as I proclaim it to you here, as you forgive one another, as we hear the absolution in the divine service, through the waters of baptism, through the food of Holy Communion. He gives us that blessing that he lived out in his life and death, and we receive it by faith in him and his promises. He surely lived a life that was a blessing to others and an honor to God. And because we are his, our Savior has called us, that is, called us his righteous ones, to also be a blessing to others, to also honor him, to think about how we can serve and be a blessing rather than be served. And that's where Jesus goes in the second paragraph of his little dissertation to the people there. You know, to the part where he says, well, you know, he who humbles himself will be exalted. He tells us what that really looks like. He said to the man who had invited him, when you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just. And again, the banquet motif here is just an example. Just as a regular part of life, a banquet can be used to honor and glorify ourselves, so a regular part of life, in this case a banquet, can be used to be a blessing to others. In areas of our life where we sometimes exalt ourselves, let's look at those same areas of life and ask us, well, how can we actually be a blessing to others? He reminds us that we're to deal with others as he has with us, by grace. We bless others not because they earn it, not because they deserve it, not because of what they can do for us, but for the sake of Christ, who blesses us, not because we've earned it, not because we've deserved it, and not because he has anything to gain from us. And that's what it means then to live as Christians. It's not just a matter of worship, although that's important. It's not a matter of using God words, that we're going to be Christians because we've got the jargon down. You ever met somebody that, you know, they just want you to know how holy they are because of their turn of phrase, okay, that they may be glorified? I don't know. You know, it's not just about church stuff and church activities and things that have the label as Christian. Christian literature, for example, is not just Christian because it's about a Christian topic or uses the word Christian in it, but because it shows a view of the world that is true to God's word. In that respect, there are many Christian authors who don't write what are sometimes think of as Christian books. Christian musicians play for the enjoyment and the blessing of those who hear them and give glory to God. And it doesn't have to be hymns. Plumbers, engineers, teachers, homemakers, executive assistants, salespeople, moms, dads, husbands, wives. We live in a way in which, yeah, in all of those places we might be honored, but we live in those ways thinking, how may we be a blessing to others, and how may Christ be honored? That's what we're called to do in this world. It isn't just about banquets. A plumber installing a sink that doesn't leak is a blessing to other people. And in faith, he honors Christ. A roofer that puts on a roof that keeps us dry is a blessing to others. And he is honored not just because he's a good roofer, but especially he honors Christ. And so a Christian dentist who fixes my tooth so it stops hurting Well, he's surely a blessing to me, though he may give the honor to Christ. So whether they're paid, or whether, as is often the case, people act in charity, as Jesus described in that banquet situation, what Christians think in their heart is the way they serve others and honor Christ. We honor him, why? Because he is the door to heaven. Living a life of getting and having is not what gives us lasting joy. You know, that's not where we're going to really be repaid, is it? No, our payment comes at the resurrection of the just, and it's not a payment that we've earned or deserved, but it's one that comes to us by grace. Just as we help those who can never repay us, so we receive all that we have by grace. Amen. And now the grace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.